The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Dead O'Brien Day. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is The Real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975, and shortly at Lance Zierlein. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch on Twitch. And if you missed the first hour, all about Bill O'Brien. And before we get to Lance, a tweet from John McClain. Cal McNair says he hasn't given up on the season despite the 0-4 start. Said the Texans are focusing on Jacksonville and trying to win their first game. Said it was a tough decision to fire O'Brien because he likes him, but had to put aside personal feelings. Interesting. All right, Lance, bet you weren't expecting to be talking about this today.
No, I thought I'd be talking about a loss, and I thought I'd be talking about people calling for Bill O'Brien's head, but I really didn't think Jack Easterby would get him. But, you know, Ian Rappaport saying out loud what we've been saying on the morning show, which is, you know, it was not – I know the Texans try to make it sound like Cal McNair is the one who did a deep dive into Brian game, but it wasn't. I mean, it was Jack and Bill, and probably mostly Jack Easterby – who got rid of Brian Gain. And then, you know, and let's be honest here. Jack Easterby made the right move here in convincing Cal to get rid of Bill O'Brien. And I'm working completely off of Ian Rappaport's information because he's got somebody in the building, and it might be Jack. But he's saying that Jack Easterby is the one who got Bill O'Brien fired. And if that's the case, and that's something John had alluded to last week, that they weren't really getting along in that building. Actually, that was something off the record he told me, now that I think about it. But, it makes sense now. It makes total sense. And I think Jack Easterby, no matter what you think of him, I mean, I think it's a little squirrely that you get rid of the guy, you get rid of the GM in front of you, and you take his power, and then you get rid of the head coach who brought you in. That seems a little squirrely, but at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that you had to take away the nuclear codes from Bill O'Brien. He's already done so much damage with his personnel moves. Well, he wasn't doing great as a coach this year. We know that. But his personnel moves are going to make it really hard to win over the next couple of years. And you let him have any more control of personnel, and he was just going to wreck you. He showed no inclination for understanding trade value, draft value, contract value, nothing. And it was the right move to get rid of him. And I just can't believe that Cal had the balls to do something like that was, you know, that's going to cost them some pretty good money.
You know, you started out this conversation by saying Jack made this decision. Were we wrong this whole time about who really was pulling the strings behind this whole operation? Has it been Jack, kind of the guy with the power, more than O'Brien this whole time?
No. It was Bill O'Brien, but I think somewhere along the line, you know, in the off season and somewhere during the season, I think Jack Easterby flipped that dynamic on him, and probably, I don't know that that was a grand plan or anything like that, but I just think he continued to see. Now, Jack Easterby's whole thing around league circles is that he's kind of a competency guy who can come in, and he's got a grading scale, and he grades you on your competency of your job and your character and things like that. That's what he's known for. It's what he does. And so he got that information to the owner, like, look, Brian Gain, this is kind of interesting. Brian doesn't really pass on the competency scale and on the scale that we use. Well, he was gone. At some point, I think Jack Easterby realized, because I do think Jack Easterby wants to be a football guy, I think he realized, Bill, these moves that I've been helping. Now, Bill O'Brien said it's him and Jack Easterby. It's those two guys. Every press conference, it was him and Jack. So, I mean, Jack has to wear the hat on Brandon Cooks for sure, because that was his personal guy. And he's got to wear these moves as well, because Jack Easterby has been involved in all of them. But You know, I think at some point he realized and recognized this team maybe wasn't responding to Bill O'Brien. And I'm just kind of curious. That was a very – I don't know if you guys got to hear any of Bill O'Brien's sound bites, but he sounded like yesterday he had been clipped a little bit because, you know, all the piss and vinegar and the fiery attitude, which frankly has not endeared him to anyone, that was really missing for most of this year. And I know in the offseason he wanted to rebrand himself as, you know, good old likable fun to be around Bill O'Brien because he thinks he hasn't really gotten a fair shot around the city. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Texans have, but I think Jack Easterby, and, you know, the one thing is Easterby and Bill O'Brien's personalities couldn't be more different. One's a beer drinker, one's a milk drinker. I mean, one doesn't swear, and the other one, the swear jar is all the way to the top. They're very different people. But I think ultimately, you know, how about this? Bill O'Brien took over play calling. I know this for 100% fact. Why would he lie about it in the postgame? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Like everything's got to be a big secret.
Yeah, why are you playing these games? You're the head coach and GM, and I don't know why he's playing those games. And I wonder if stuff like that, Bill's told a lot of fibs over the last couple of years. And I don't know if that kind of ended up getting him too. But I just know that the right move was made, but there's a lot of work to be done. And there's no guarantee that it's going to get any better unless they hire, I think, an extremely competent GM who can come in and get this organization headed in the right direction and everybody on the same page. The building was not headed in the same direction. The building was not working as one towards the same stuff. It was really just, you know, he's just a tyrant in there. And, now, I can compare it to what the Colts have done because I know that organization and I've been there in the off season and watched the team building stuff. It's like night and day. That's what's so frustrating for me to come back to Houston and just be like, man, why can't my team get it right with personnel moves and head coaching moves and get that fun direction where everybody is pulling in one direction and they're all, you know, they're all in it together. Well, maybe they can finally do that now.
Do you expect a bunch of stories to start coming out now about how bad things were over there? Because I'm already starting to see a few things on Twitter leaking out as well.
Oh, let me tell you something now. Bill is known as a leaker. There's stuff that's going to leak, 100%. He's going to start throwing some people under the bus. He did it to Rick Smith with his, you know, the famous, like, Bill O'Brien may be fired if he loses his playoff game. That was Bill who leaked that. And he was just trying to put pressure on Rick Smith. I think 100% there will be things that get leaked. I think Jack Easterby's already starting to leak stuff. I think Bill O'Brien will leak some things. I mean, those are going to be the two because there's no way it can sit well with Bill O'Brien that the guy he brought in helped get rid of. There's no way that's going to sit well with him. And he doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to sit back and just take it.
Lance Zierlein is our guest. So what do you, your choice, let's say we make you GM, what do you go out and do at the coaching position?
You know, I think Eric Bieniemy is going to be the name that you hear a lot, but that's because he's been with Pat Mahomes and he's been in a very versatile not necessarily a dual threat system, but one where a lot of pieces were constantly on the move, which actually has helped his own quarterback because, you know, it forces the defense into stress positions before the ball is even snapped. So I would say Bieniemy would be one. The OC with the Bills, who worked with Josh Allen, Pat Doggett, who's over there? He's going to be a name that you're going to hear mentioned for this job. And then I think Josh McDaniels will get mentioned, but I don't think Josh McDaniels is the right person to pair with Deshaun Watson. I really don't. I think it'd be interesting if they tried to take a shot at Dabo Swinney. If you really wanted to swing for the fences, I think he's a culture builder and the kind of guy who would really get along well with Easterby if he stays in the position of executive vice president. But I think he needs to be in the EVP role because he's not going anywhere. I think he needs to be in that position and turn over the GM stuff to someone else. Now, I think John Dorsey would be an interesting guy, but he's drafted some really good players, but he's also had some character flameouts, and I'm not sure that that's something that the McNairs are going to be on board with. They never have been. But as far as the head coach is concerned, you know, I think Dabo is somebody who might be considered a little bit of a long shot, but I would just keep him in mind, because you want Deshaun Watson to get better, and then you want him to stay here long term. Right now, he's not getting any better. And number two, he's just got a 3-year extension at the end of his deal, so that will keep him here for a while. But it's not, if he does get a lot better, it does not guarantee you're going to hang on to him long term.
Would there be any looking at, because you mentioned Brian Daboll, who's in Buffalo.
Brian Daboll, yeah.
I was thinking maybe a Brian Schottenheimer, who's been in Seattle working with Russ, or maybe a guy who's working with a dual-threat quarterback right now who's been here before in Greg Roman. Is that a name that they could consider?
I could absolutely see Schottenheimer. Roman is another one. Roman would make a lot of sense because of what he's done up to this point with Lamar. Now, the offenses are different,
right,
but I also think that he simplified some things for Lamar. And I think the real key here is the Texans might need to go back to simplifying. And simplifying can be – it doesn't have to be – your definition can be a little different. Like, I think spreading four wide and let Deshaun pick a defense apart with his quick game passing game, and forcing defenses to kind of show you who they are with a spread defense, I think that can be simplifying. I think simplifying can create, you know, a two-read look. I think simplifying can be multiple RPO looks. It really depends on what Deshaun is feeling, because let's just be honest here. He's not getting better right now, and he clearly doesn't have the confidence that he needs. And his body language has been very frustrated over the last 3 weeks that I've seen. I didn't see it the first week, but I definitely saw it weeks 2, 3, and now 4.
Well, you're not going to take away his joy, I can tell you that much.
I've heard.
Is it now, everybody we've talked about, and whether it's Bieniemy or the guys I just mentioned, everybody's an offensive guy. Is it just assumed that the Texans are going to get an offensive-minded head coach that can work with Deshaun? Because right now, I mean, the defense is historically bad. Mm-hmm. And it may take a full overhaul on that side of the ball. Is there any way they'd consider a defensive-minded head coach?
Well, so that's a fair point. You took away my joke that the defense is going so good there's really no reason to look on that side. So you submarine that joke before I could even get it out. But I do think defensively they're a mess from a personnel standpoint. They don't have anywhere near what it's going to take. And frankly, their inside linebackers are not playing very well. They don't have consistent rush. J.J. is going to be gone after this year, and the secondary is a mess. So they're going to have to concentrate. So, and it's always been said that when a new head coach is installed, whatever side his specialty is, offense or defense, they usually draft the opposite side because they feel like they can do more with less. And frankly, the Texans have added a bunch of draft capital under their offensive line. They're paying a bunch of money at wide receiver. They're paying a bunch of money at quarterback. You can find a running back. I would just go get an offensive-minded guy. I think making Deshaun right and making the offense explosive is going to be the priority, as it should be. And then throwing money and throwing draft picks at defense. And I don't know that Anthony Weaver survives this. I mean,
what
it sucks for him that his one chance, you know, he gets his one shot, and he's just, I mean, it's not good. It's not good, but he doesn't have a lot of help, but it's still not good.
Yeah, and I'm going to kind of go through this a little later in the show, but a good GM, a quality GM, could come in here and replace a lot of these overpaid guys, because they will have some money that they can get rid of next year. And they're going to have to focus on free agency more than the draft, obviously, but that a sharp guy could do that.
So, you know, so when Chris Ballard got to Indianapolis, they were in way, way worse position than this. From a roster standpoint, it was a mess. So he brought in some, you know, Band-Aid guys, spent a little money for just Band-Aid guys. And then what he started doing was drafting. And he drafted on the offensive line. He drafted on the defensive line. He started drafting certain types of players with certain types of football character. He had their defensive rookie of the year and the offensive All-Pro, and, you know, Darius Leonard and Quentin Nelson. But it's not really there's no real mystery to building on the offensive and defensive fronts. And then I agree with you, Fred. I got to take a look at Whitney Merciless's contract, but if you really look at this Bernardrick McKinney, you can save a bunch of money after this year. And to me, you start cutting these guys. This has been the Texans' big mistake. Whitney Merciless should have never been given another contract. You should have never, ever, ever taken on David Johnson's money. Never. For what purpose? You can go out and get a cheaper running back. There's no reason to spend that money. He has no juice. I mean, he has no juice. You can find running backs. They found one in Carlos Hyde. And so I do think that I'm with you, Fred. I think a good talent evaluator will understand which guys they can plug in to make themselves better, will understand what the team's defensive philosophy is going to be, and then will also draft to start strengthening, you know, the middle of the roster. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it with third and fourth round picks. You're not getting your core players, more than likely. But there's nothing you can do about that next year. You have to stop credit card spending because at some point it comes due, and that's what's happened now. It's come due, and it sucks because you're not anywhere where you need to be from a roster standpoint.
Well, Merciless, you can't cut next year because his number's ridiculous, yeah. But you can cut David Johnson and save $6.9 million. You can cut Nick Martin, save $6.2 million.
He's not going to get cut though.
But hey, he's O'Brien's pet. You can't tell me.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You tell me you can't replace that guy. I mean, he's as average as they come. And you could.
I just would like to have some draft picks to do it with.
No, you can go. I think you can go sign a free agent that's just as good for half the price. Bernardrick McKinney.
That might be true.
Bernardrick McKinney, you can save $7 million. Duke Johnson, $5 million. I mean, there's a lot of these cats that you can.
Look at JJ, 20, I think.
Yeah, JJ's 17.5 next year. So
yeah, there's money that's gonna roll off the cap.
Yeah, so I mean, somebody will be able to do something. So please encourage one of your really sharp friends to come take the job.
Yeah, Ryan Poles from the Chiefs. Everyone talks really well about him. He's a younger guy, played tight end at Boston College. He's a guy that comes from the Chiefs way, and I think very highly of him. I think he's really talented. Ed Dodds out of Indianapolis, he's kind of a rough, you know, he's kind of a hard-nosed guy. I don't know how he and East Street would do, but I think Ed is really super talented. But the Cowboys, McClay is another guy to take a look at, and he's a guy who's local, even though the Cowboys are not doing very well right now. But listen, there's lots of guys around the league who can handle this job. Young guys, older guys. I even mentioned John Dorsey. I still think very highly of him as a talent evaluator. And I just don't know that the guys that he's drafted, it's going to be hard to get away from some of the character issues that some of those guys have had.
Well, and then if it's me, we were talking about this earlier. I want me some Ravens front office. I want to get into that kind of organization.
Yeah, no, I mean the Ravens have been great. I don't know all the guys behind the scenes there, but yeah, there's no question. The Ravens, you want to choose from. See, I love Alonzo Highsmith. I think Highsmith has been with.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Zoe. I mean, I think he deserves a chance, doesn't he?
No, I would think so. I just don't think he's going to get it. But that doesn't mean, you know, he was blocked. Rick Smith tried to bring him in as assistant general manager to the Texans, and Ted Thompson blocked it. And Zoe was blocked like three or four times by the Green Bay Packers, which sucked for him personally. But he's been with Ted Thompson. He's been with John Schneider now. He has been with John Dorsey. Like, Zoe has he knows everyone around the league, and he has a tremendous amount of knowledge. And I think he would be great. If you brought a Dorsey in, the first guy he'd bring in is probably, you know, Alonzo Highsmith would be the first guy in the door. And I don't think that would be a bad thing. At all, because I do think they understand how to build a, you know, towards a certain type of, you know, a certain type of mindset for finding what guys who love football look like. But so do the Ravens, like you mentioned. The Ravens are maybe the best at that.
Yeah, I just hoped a little baby Tebow that we're not going back into the Patriots pool again.
I'm not really. Anything that's been Belichick that doesn't involve Tom Brady hasn't really worked. So I think the whole Belichick family tree is nothing. I haven't really seen a lot of fruit other than Belichick.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him in the morning. I'm sure he and John will have a ton more to say about this tomorrow morning because I'll be tuning in because I'm kind of curious what you guys think beyond what you've had to say here.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Right. Lance.
That's all right. I'll do it for Lance. I'll tell you guys about Texas Star Grill Shop. Guys, this is the place you want to go. And Aaron can tell you. Aaron used to work there. You could go to a big box store and pick out a grill. That's fine. You're not getting the best price. I can tell you that. and you're limited on your options. Texas Star Grill Shop, they've got all the big brands, all the styles, whatever you want, and they're also so much more knowledgeable than the guys you're going to get at the big orange store or the big blue store. Like, you go in and you say, hey, here's what I do. Here's how I like to cook. Here's how often I'm cooking. Here's how much effort I'm willing to put in. What's right for me? They're going to point you in the right direction, whether it's a Memphis or a Napoleon or a Traeger or a Pits and Spits, which is made locally, or a Kamado Joe. They've got something for everyone, and that includes you guys. They've got all the tools, all the rubs, the spices, everything you need on top of that. Guys, four locations, well, the fourth coming, but Houston, Katy, and up in Spring as well. But you can always shop online, TexasStarGrillShop.com. That's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Allstate. Allstate Windows and Siding, and let me tell you, I've had Allstate Windows and Siding come out to my house. They've measured. I am ready. They're going to put in my new windows, hurricane impact windows from Allstate Windows and Siding. They're built for the Texas tough weather. Rain, wind, hail, it's all covered because the windows are built here in Texas. They know what you need. And you can save up to 40% on your electric bill, which that's the big selling point to me, is saving money on my electric bill. My wife is excited because the windows are just they're going to beautify the house. They're really great looking windows. We've got some new designs going in. We've got long, like really tall windows on the back that she's changing up. They're not going to be just the regular pull open windows like you would normally find on builder grade windows. She's getting some picture windows put in. It's very exciting for everyone. And 20% off all window packages. How about that? Buy 10, get 2 free. And $2,000 off complete siding jobs if you need siding as well. They've got home or virtual appointments available. They've family run for 4 generations. You want the best rate? Call Allstate, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online. Allstate Windows or AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Astros up 7-5. And Brady's in there dealing right now. So, you know, I didn't catch COVID on the break. I just had water go up my nose.
You look because like Trey trying to shotgun.
I know. I was drinking water.
Spewing out of all his holes.
Yeah, drinking water, and it went down the wrong thing. And so, yeah, but I'm fine. I'm going to live. So one thing that I wanted to kind of throw out there, like if you're Romeo Crennel, we talked about who's going to call the plays.
Yeah.
You can laugh at me for this, but you know who I mean, you're not going to be able to hire an offensive coordinator, but you could damn sure hire an offensive consultant to come in and make some suggestions and maybe eventually take over play calling. There's a guy who might do a pretty good job who's sitting out of work right now in June Jones. I'd like to see a little bit of that offense brought in here.
Drake on Facebook just sent us a message at break and said, hey, what about June Jones to come in and help out?
As a consultant, I'm not asking him to come in and run your offense.
I don't know. I mean, if you're, and then eventually when you hire a real OC and he's got June Jones there,
you hire him for this season, AJ. You're not giving him a lifetime contract. You're bringing in somebody to help you for the rest of the season.
And then you got paid out by the XFL.
Yeah, because you're cleaning house at the end of the year. Romeo's gone. All those guys are gone. New coach is going to bring in his own people. I'm talking about for this season. I'm not talking about for the long term.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I just think it would be. If not him, somebody like that who's had head coaching experience, who's an offensive mind, who can just come in and look at things and say, hey, maybe this will work for Deshaun. That's all. Because that you can find right now. You can't go get somebody off another staff like you would in the offseason. But there are some guys like that lying around. Why not?
I mean, I guess it's worth taking a look. I just don't know. I guess I'm aiming higher. And you're right. You can't get anything right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the season, I'm talking a completely different situation. I'm talking about for right now.
Yeah.
What can you do right now? Do you really trust Tim Kelly to completely?
No, I mean, honestly, I don't even care what happens for the rest of this season. Because like I said, I think it's already a lost season.
Well, I know, but a lot of people don't think that. And I don't necessarily think that. Look, if you looked at the rest of the garbage on their schedule, if you actually start playing better, you're going to win some games.
I don't understand where you're seeing this garbage. You thought the Vikings were garbage. The Texans are the garbage.
They are. And again, coaching changes can make a difference, AJ. You're acting like this is just going to be the same old team. Maybe it will. But, I mean, I've seen it before.
Dude, I don't understand where your optimism with this franchise comes from. I really don't.
Because I have seen what Bill O'Brien does week in and week out, and a blind monkey could do a better job.
I saw the coach before this go 2-14. This is a doomed franchise.
Well, let's stop with that. The 2-14.
What? Name the trash. Name the trash on their schedule.
Well, they got one this week.
Okay.
And they get to play them twice.
More wins than the team they beat last week, or that beat them this week.
Yeah, they won the first week.
Okay.
Listen.
Okay, beyond Jacksonville.
Oh, really? I want to hear what O'Brien has to say. Okay. Well, just because you've given up on the team, I don't think the team's given up, and I think everybody else is pretty confident here. Go ahead, put him on.
Long hours from the equipment room to the training room to the weight room to the cafeteria. We made a lot of great changes to this organization, and I really thank those people. They just work tirelessly. Again, I want to specifically reach out to Cal and tell him I appreciate the opportunity that he gave me, the support that he gave us. I told him this today. I'm sorry that we couldn't get this team over the hump. We couldn't get it over the hump last year, the year before, but obviously early on this year. But it wasn't from lack of effort. We did win 4 division championships here that we're very proud of. Won 4 division championships in 6 years.
Oh, God.
So we did a lot of good things here, but we didn't do enough. We didn't bring a Super Bowl to Houston, which I believe eventually someone will. I think this is a championship team that needs to get things turned around right now, but I believe in this team. The room, the team meeting room that I stood up in front of every single day was full of guys that like I said earlier, that have tremendous character and work ethic, and I know that they will succeed on the field, but also in life. I mean, you think about some of these players and what they've done for the city of Houston. I mean, it was just an incredible opportunity for me to be around them every day and to coach them and for them to really take the coaching and try to do what we were asking them to do. Again, most people would say we didn't do quite enough to get to the championship that we wanted here, but we did a lot of great things here. We won a lot of games and, you know, we won 4 AFC South division titles in 6 years.
And I think
a good accomplishment. It's not good enough, but we did a lot of good things here. So with that, I'll open it up to a couple questions, and then I'm gonna head home.
We'll start with John.
Well, how surprised were you when Cal gave you the news, and what did you think about the decision?
Oh, I respected the decision, John. You know, look, I know in this business you know, when we lost to Minnesota, a game that we had a chance to win, give Minnesota credit, they did a great job. But I knew that something like this could happen. That's the business. You know, you start off like that. But I have tremendous respect. Cal called me and we had a nice conversation. And you know, I thanked him for the opportunity and I told him they got a good team here and they'll turn it around.
Greg Bailey.
Hey, Bill, can you maybe put your finger on what didn't quite happen with this team? Is there something that you point to and say, man, I wish we just could have gotten that going to get the season going?
Yeah, I mean, Greg, you've known me for 7 years. I don't make excuses. You know, we just didn't do enough. Whatever it is, you look back on it, hindsight's 20/20, right? I mean, the players played hard. We had a chance to win or at least tie the game at the end there the other day. If we, you know, scored the touchdown and been able to convert the 2-point, but we didn't get it done, you know. So in the end, that's on the head coach, and I totally understand that. Looking back on it, I don't regret anything we did in this, especially this time period with what's gone on with the COVID protocols that we had to follow and all the different things we had to do. We just weren't able to win games.
Christy.
I know it might be a little too fresh to reflect, but is at this moment, is there any like moves that you made or anything that you said you don't have regrets, but as far as like decisions you made that maybe led to the bad start or anything like that, that you regret right now?
No, I think that every decision we made was always in the best interest of the team. We had long conversations. We put a lot of research into them. You know, there were things that happened within the walls of an organization that the outside public will really never know. And that's just the way it is. I mean, I totally understand that. But we had a lot of great conversations that went into these decisions, a lot of research. We had a lot of people that helped us along the way, and we made what we believed were the best decisions for the team. That's what we always did.
Sarah?
Bill, when you were put in charge of football operations and you became general manager, is that something you wanted to do, or is it something the team approached you about?
You know, Sarah, I think that's probably something I really don't want to get into. You know, I think at the end of the day, I tried to do always every day what was best for the organization, what was asked of me.
I tried to get Ryan Jane fired so I could take his job.
Did we make mistakes? Obviously, we made mistakes. I mean, I don't think anybody's perfect, but we worked very hard to field a competitive team. We had a competitive team for years here. I think this is a competitive team, but you know, obviously you got to win games to be, you know, really, really considered that way. But and we hadn't gotten it done. So, you know, in the end, you know, I did always what was asked of me, whether it was Bob or Cal and Janice, and tried to do the best I could.
Randy.
Hey, Bill, do you feel like you're leaving here after 7 years? You had some high moments and you had some situations. I know you wish the results were better, but are you leaving here as a better coach, as a better leader than when you got here with this opportunity?
I believe I am, Randy. I think I learned, you know, you learn a lot about yourself in these situations. I learned a lot about myself at Penn State, learned a lot about myself here in Houston. You know, look, that's experience is the best teacher, right? I mean, you gain experience, you try to make decisions that are in the best interest of the team. You always think about that. What's best for the team?
Third best interest of the team.
You work very hard.
That's enough. Yeah, this is his greatest hits.
He hasn't changed.
No.
He's the same person, except now he's a little, you know, he's not in that bully tone that he normally is. He's a phony dude. He's a phony dude. I can't stand that guy. I'm so glad that they finally did this. My God. And I you know what? I said this before, and I've said it before about the Rockets. I don't even care if the Texans suck for the next 2 years. I don't. It doesn't matter. As long as they bring someone in here who points this ship in the right direction and makes me think, like, down the road there's hope. Because the way this thing's been going, I mean, any hope that they had was false hope. The first quarter of the Chiefs game, false hope. It's so typical of this organization.
See, though, this...
Not out of there?
It looks like it's a home run.
Is that Correa again?
Even the Astros are excited by this.
What are you going to say now?
Well, here's...
8-6?
8-5.
8-5, yeah.
Oh, boy.
So,
pouring it on.
Yeah. So, AJ, to my point, though, as sick as you are of this guy, as sick as I am of this guy, you don't think the players are sick of him, too? You don't think they're going to be motivated to come out and play better?
I don't know. You think Nick Martin's sick of him? You think Whitney Merciless is sick of him?
Yeah, those guys.
You think McKinney and you know, you think all these guys, Cunningham, do you think they're sick of him?
I think JJ was pretty clear he was sick of him.
Maybe. You think
there's six guys that liked him out of the 53.
One of them's Deshaun. Deshaun, you ain't taking the smile off his face. You ain't taking the joy out of him. He doesn't care if he wins or loses. He's got that money, bro.
Yeah, that's...
Maybe he had the assurance that O'Brien was gone if they didn't pull it out yesterday. Maybe Cal sat him down earlier in the week and said, "Look,
is that why he was missing open receivers the entire first half?
He had too much joy."
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that may be a problem that all these guys are paid. There's nobody playing for a contract right now, and you know you got to have a mix, right? You can't just pay everybody, and that's part of the problem. But maybe they are sick of him. We'll see. And if they are, I think you're gonna see some improvement just by getting rid of this guy. Now, will it be enough for them to win a bunch of games? I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I think they could win 5 or 6 games down the stretch. That's certainly an improvement over where they are. Ouch. Who got hit?
Real.
But, yeah, I mean, I think the one guy who you could read between the lines on who was extremely frustrated is JJ. And I don't blame him. He's wasted his career under this.
He really has. And Deshaun doesn't realize it yet, but he was on his way to doing that same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier. He's going to have to step up now. He really is. And maybe he will. This is where we find out if O'Brien was holding him back as much as everybody thinks. And if he is, his team's going to be better. Now, does that mean they're going to suddenly be able to stop the run? I don't know how you do that. But
I don't know.
You know, I think there's some other issues there. But it's not like you can go sign a bunch of guys. So let's try Damon. He's been waiting for a long time. Let's get him on. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, I do agree with what y'all just said. Now we're going to see if it's Deshaun Watson or if it was Bill O'Brien. So with this next hire, it's going to pretty much show us what we need to see from Deshaun Watson if they pick the right person, because I feel like his potential hasn't been maximized yet on the field. But I want to throw out a name, man, and I don't know how y'all feel about it, but maybe not as head coach, but as OC, Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. I like the way he breaks down film. I know he knows the game because he played the position, but I really feel like that he can help develop, just based on what I'm hearing and seeing, I feel like he can help Deshaun Watson develop on and off the field. And another name I'll throw out for GM, Lewis Riddick. I know he interviewed with the San Francisco 49ers at one time, and he didn't get the job because they hired John Lynch. But I hear a lot of the ex-players speak well about him. I think if they can get that combination with Dan Orlovsky and Lewis Riddick, I think that'll be good for the Texans and move them in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't mind Lewis Riddick. I don't know about Dan Orlovsky as an OC because he doesn't have any experience. I think I'm looking for someone who's got some more experience. And I would also hope that they let whoever the new head coach is pick, you know, so at least have some input on who his coordinators are. And if you're going to get a guy like, you know, like we were talking about with Lance, if you're going to get a Eric Bieniemy or a Brian Daboll or a Greg Roman or a Brian Schottenheimer, those are guys who are coming from offenses that are having the kind of success that they should be allowed to put guys in who believe the same things that they believe and are going to work to the similar goals that they are. So I think a lot of – I don't want to make any coordinator hires before they hire a head coach.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that people love to do is speculate on TV guys because they're good on TV. But that's an analyst role. That's not a coaching role. There's a big difference when you can sit there and look at what a guy's doing and saying
– Oh, you're talking about Orlovsky.
I'm talking about Orlovsky.
Not Riddick. No, Lewis Riddick's been widely regarded as a pretty well-respected personnel guy.
And that's – you know, and again, I'm not saying it never works pulling guys off TV, and I think Riddick's a guy I would certainly talk to. But there'll be better offensive coordinator candidates.
I agree.
And then Tony Romo. Stop with all that. Tony does TV. AJ's an analyst. Doesn't mean he can coach. Quick break.
You don't know me.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. I was hoping somebody would ask O'Brien what exactly his best interest of the team means, specifically the Hopkins trade. I guess A.J.'s favorite reporter there, Christy What's-Her-Face, came closest to asking about that.
And who?
The one that hates MMA that you love so much.
Gotcha.
I think she
said a preseason basketball game is bigger than a UFC pay-per-view with the heavyweight championship on the line. Right.
Yeah, she asked, did he regret anything specifically? I mean, at least have the Stones come out and say, do you regret the Hopkins trade? And he danced around it and said all the same crap he always says. And you know what? The guy's just clueless. He's a con man who finally got caught. I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad he's dead. And you know what? I have hopes that they can at least do some respectable things the rest of the season. But I'm really excited for next year because I do think you get the right people. Now, you got to get the right people. Do we trust them to do that? I don't know.
I don't know
that I trust Jesus Easterby.
Although I also don't know. I mean, I know what you're saying. It could bring. I just don't know if bringing anybody in this year is going to really do anything. I mean.
But see, you
because what are they going to do to fix the defense? Everybody's talking about the offense. The defense is worse than the offense.
It is. Well, I mean, we know the defense sucks. You got to get them off the field, though.
No one thought this defense was going to be this bad. Even I did. I'm the ultimate pessimist, and I didn't think they'd be a historically bad defense.
But I do think in their defense, and all these three and outs on offense are right back on the field. Yesterday, fumbled punt, right back on the field. They get a stop. Yeah, you know, that's part of it. You've got to possess the ball on offense a little bit to keep them off the field. Now, you've also had four games without a turnover on your defense. You're not going to win like that. But, you know, I would just say that while you've given up on the season, if I'm them, I don't. You know, because I do know you get an extra crappy playoff team in there this year, so I try to turn things around. I go and see if there's somebody I can sign on defense to help there. And, you know, you try to win some games because, frankly, you don't have a draft pick. So the whole let's just fold our tents thing,
yeah,
that's, you know, that'd be fine and dandy if you were going to get a pick out of it. Well, they're not. So to me, try to win. And if you can't, then this is a good time to evaluate some of these overpaid a-holes. And I start lopping heads at the end of the season. And yes, I do think if you're the Texans, you think about trading JJ if the season keeps going the way it is. If you're 1-5 and somebody, a Super Bowl contender, says, hey, we'll give you this for him, just give him a chance to go play for somebody who might win something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you look at all that stuff. Now, who's going to be making that decision is the question. Because who's going to be your GM now? Just know that whoever it is, he can't be as bad as the one he just replaced. So, Sam Silver says the Texans have talent. They're just tired and overplayed. The defense has been on the field a bunch, and a lot of that's well, we talked about it earlier in the show. I mean, three and out right off the bat. I mean, when you prepared all week, it's you've got to get your defense a break every now and then. And that's what a good offense does, and that's part of the problem. And we focus on the offense because that's been O'Brien's baby. I don't know. The defense, there's some issues there I don't know that you can fix.
Man, the more I look at it, like who they can get rid of next year, there's less than I thought. Like, JJ, you can get rid of.
Yep.
Will they do it? That's a different question.
Well,
I don't know.
I think
they will, because I don't think they want to pay that guy $17.5 million to be on a team that is not a contender. Brandon Cooks is almost certainly gone.
Yeah, that's...
Whitney Mercilus, there's no way.
Yeah, you just...
He's 15 mil.
Right. That was
dead cap.
Yeah, you're stuck with... Okay, the guys that...
Zach Cunningham, you're stuck with for sure.
Because you just signed him. Right. What the hell was that about?
Bradley Roby, you're stuck with.
Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, Bradley Roby's played okay for... I mean, he's one of the few guys on that defense who hasn't been a disaster.
Ugh, I wouldn't say that about anybody on this defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's out there on the number one receiver every week.
Randall Cobb you can't get rid of.
Yeah, well, you just signed him, so that sucks.
David Johnson, $2.1 million dead cap, is probably gone.
Definitely, because you're going to save $6.9. And we went over this a little bit with Lance, but Nick Martin, out of here, as far as I'm concerned.
It'll be 2.5 of dead cap.
But you save 6.5 or 6.2.
Yeah.
Bernard
McKinney's gone.
Bye.
Gone.
See ya. $7 million.
Got Eric Murray? You can't get rid of Eric Murray? Kelemete's gone.
Yeah.
Duke Johnson's
gone.
God, you can't get rid of Fairbairn either. That's just such a bad contract. Yeah. That's one of the worst.
But see, the thing is,
they won't get rid of Zach Fulton at that number, I don't think.
You can,
but I don't think there's any point.
I think you can find somebody who does what he does for cheaper. I feel that way about Bernardrick McKinney. I think you can. That's the thing. I think you can get rid of a lot of these guys. Clear some cap space. You're going to have to sign some guys, but I think you can do that. I think you can get better than Nick Martin out there and not pay $6 million a year. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think you can do better than Brandon Dunn.
Kiki is certainly gone. He was supposed to be gone this year.
Yeah, well, remember when he got in for one play?
Yeah. Kahale Waring is going to be gone. That's a Bill O'Brien special right there. That guy's got no business on this team.
Will Fuller can be gone next year. That's another 10 mil.
Didn't they already sign? I thought they already picked up his.
They picked it up for this year.
Oh, okay. You're right.
If I'm not mistaken, he's not on the books for 2021. So, all right. I'd love to do a gym of the day, but this whole thing is just gym of the day. So let's just play the gym of the day music. And
yeah, it's the gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Panhock Jeweler gym of the day.
You know who else is gone? You're not really saving money, but you can free up a roster spot. John Weeks.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
Anyway, Bill O'Brien. Dead! Yep. Your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. Kenny Stills will be gone.
Yeah, Kenny Stills at 7 mil. That'll be off the books. So there'll be cap room there to play with. And even with the big deals that you've given people, you're not going to be able to. I think you'll be able to find replacements for all of these guys because, I mean, let's face it, they're all pretty average.
Yeah.
With the exception of JJ. And, yeah, I don't know that JJ wants to be around here for another year with this team, but I don't know. Maybe getting O'Brien out of there. Maybe that. Alex is trying to redo JJ's contract if he's willing. And that's something that I think they would have looked at anyway if things were going differently.
But, you can't redo it. Like, next year is the last year of his deal.
No, sure you can. You can give him an extension and split the money up.
Do you want to do that?
I don't know that I want to at this stage.
I think it's time to just move on.
I think you have to see what happens the rest of the season. And if it continues to go downhill, then I'd trade him.
I mean, if you can get anything for him,
I think you'll be able to. I think you'll have a
because
team.
Because he's obviously not part of the future of this team, and it sucks to say that, but if this team is going to have any long-term success, it's probably without him. And that's, you know, taking off that 15, 16 million, whatever it is, that's going to go a long way towards building something new. And I think that's, that's the kind of guy that you hate to lose ever. You wish he could be a lifelong Texan. The NFL's not like baseball, like where you can just, you just can't. I mean, it's too difficult. Tom Brady's playing for the freaking Buccaneers, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, seeing J.J. Watt go is just going to be part of it.
Y'all are crazy. Zach Cunningham is a killer. Look at last year's stats.
Zach Cunningham is a trash can. Zach Cunningham is the leader of the defense that's given up the most yards through four games since like 1988. Zach Cunningham is a monster. Cookie monster. So I don't know what kind of monster he ain't. He ain't a football monster right now. I can tell you that. Look at last year's stats. They should have paid him last year's salary. That'd be different.
Yeah. Listen, tackle numbers can be really misleading too. And oh, good. Altuve got hit. Good for him.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about Texas Star Grill Shop one more time here. Ooh, that's almost a strike. Because he's bunting at the ball. I guess he did pull it back while he was jumping in the air. Texas Star Grill Shop, guys, this is the place you want to go if you're looking for a new grill. Whether you want a gas grill, you want a wood pellet grill, you want a charcoal grill. You know what? I'm going to let Lance Zerline tell you guys about this because I already did his commercial read, so he's going to do mine. Lance, tell the people about Texas Star Grill Shop, man. Tell them what you love.
Well, what I love is really that when you walk through the doors, no matter how much barbecuing you know, no matter how much whether you're intimidated or you're as confident as can be, they will help you find the right grill. And with this fall grill sale, what you're going to get is great wood pellet grills like Pitts and Spitz, like Traeger, like Green Mountain. You're going to get your hands on DSC gas grills or Weber gas grills. They've got Kamado Joe and Green Egg for ceramic cookers if you like cooking with fire and maneuvering the fire around. I mean, whatever it is that you love, they've got something for you. This assembly and delivery is always free, but here's another great feature. don't forget their award-winning rubs and marinades and every single accessory you can possibly imagine. They've got it all. Three locations, one in Katy, one in Spring, and one right there off of Greenbrier in 59. A fourth location is coming soon, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Everything is a lot on me. I cannot be seen. I cannot be taking apologies. Yeah, they plot on me because that bag on me. Yeah, they after me. I got racks on.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.